Hello, so this is Nitin Dahad. I'm here at Idea London at the AI Seed event. And we just had some presentations from Observe Technologies and FaceSoft, who are doing AI in enterprise. We have Henry Humphreys here from Humphreys Law. Can you tell me a little bit about what you thought about the presentations and what your first thoughts are in terms of the things you're doing on a day-to-day basis?
Sure. Well, hi Nitin. Yeah, thanks very much. Well, very interesting, really. But both the talk from AI Seed, which is obviously the fund backing a lot of the companies on the show, and then the two founders that stood up from the corporates to talk about what they were doing. Clearly, AI Seed is going in at an early stage in the cap table. It's a very sexy space, AI. They rightly led with some thoughts around what AI actually meant, which they took as machine learning, and talked about a number of investments currently being made, stats from PitchBook and so on, and then some of the work they've done then on their second fund, and clearly going well in the space. They write very small checks, so sort of early stage SEIS, tax efficient money going in, and focusing on companies doing things with data. Really, the message I had took from the space was that they're very data focused, data specific companies doing things with huge data sets and so on. It's difficult to really see where the AI, magical machine learning, computer consciousness points were coming in.
Did you agree?
I think we had two presentations. One was around fish farming. So Observe Technologies basically are doing computer vision and machine learning and putting that together. Mm-hmm. So what they're trying to do is identify dots in the water and to figure out whether that's food or whether that's rubbish, and then helping the fish feeders to actually understand when to feed. That's pretty straightforward. Mm-hmm. But I think from the, and that, as they say, that's saving them money and saving them lots of wasted food.
Yeah, but a very niche space. I mean, you can't, can't necessarily see Google going into fish farming. Unclear really what the size of the fish farming market was, but fairly chunky numbers floating around and presumably few competitors. And relatively specialised. Again, I didn't quite follow where the machine learning bit came in, but I suppose they've got a huge data set of fish eating different bits of food and difficult to compete.
So maybe we can leave the machine learning bit to the technologists, and it is another explanation, so we won't go there right now.
Sure.
But from the point of view of the other company, that might be more interesting here, FaceSoft, so they're competing with people like SenseTime in China, is like multi-billion dollar valuation company, and they had $1.5 billion invested last year.
Mm-hmm.
That is actually maybe more interesting in terms of they're identifying faces in crowds, and one market they say is obviously retail, where brands can use that to identify customer behavior and things like that. Mm-hmm. So they seem to suggest they're anonymizing some of that their face data.
Yeah, it sounded very sensible from a UK, European data protection perspective, in the sense that they were anonymizing the data coming out of it. So they're not selling that personalized data, personal information, sensitive information on to corporates. All sounded very interesting. Of course, the competitive advantage that the Chinese and to almost the same extent the US have is that GDPR and the same data legislation doesn't apply in their jurisdictions, and in simple terms, in China they can do what they like with the data, more or less, whereas that's not the case here. Although the interesting point made at the end is there are exceptions in GDPR for
public interest,
the matters of national security and so on, so were it so minded, the government could, in the UK, could get a hold of that tech and use it for all sorts of things, drones and airport security and passport checks and who knows what else, really. So, again, you know, huge amounts of data and sort of very drawing, boring from that perspective, but also slightly terrifying in equal measures, in the sense that you can really see the some of the real-world applications there, and, you know, could relatively neutral in terms of the moral purpose to which it's,
well, I think, it's used. I think it was a little bit concerning when they said, well, if it's in public interest, then GDPR doesn't apply, which is quite interesting. I mean, effectively, he was saying that. But coming back to sort of GDPR and privacy, so, you know, Humphrey's Law does quite a lot of work in that area, doesn't it?
Yeah, we do. You know, either we're actively companies doing things involving data, interesting things involving data, in which case we go in and out for the companies and look at things like GDPR and bits of European legislation and elsewhere, and advise accordingly. And when we act for investors of those companies, we ideally, if they're going in and doing a bit of due diligence, they'll have somebody like us go in and actually look at what they're doing with data and whether it works.
Yep.
And obviously, when you get to exit and sell the company, then as a buyer, one of the key things you want to look at is what has been going on with the data, who it's been sold to, who it's been transferred to, what legal advice has been taken during the journey, and so on. And obviously, if there's big gaps in terms of compliance, then that's going to go to valuation, and the deal may fall through in the end if it's not been done properly, or if there's huge liabilities there in terms of having done naughty things with the data.
Okay, well, Henry, thank you very much, and
thank you.
Look forward to next time.
Very good.